Got it? Okay, so we're going to start on Daf Pei Gimel, which comes out to be page 165.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves. Presentation okay. Mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
Last thing mentioned here from last time was the concept that the Rambam makes. The Rambam says that unlike human knowledge, where the knowledge adds to the person and is outside of the person and separate from the person, certainly it becomes unified with the person at some point, but the knowledge is not the person. The person, you can add knowledge, you can subtract knowledge, you can forget things. When it vis-a-vis Hashem, he is always the knower, the known, and the knowledge. That which is, he says, the human mind cannot grasp. And we could just say the words, that's the way it is, but we can't really understand. With that introduction, he now launches into the next concept, which is right in the middle of the seventh chapter. Vehine, towards the bottom of the page. Mikan yesh lahavin shigagas miktas chachomim be'eneyem. From here, we can grasp, we can understand the error made by some who are wise in their own eyes, which is a very sharp language, because this goes back to the first generations of the disciples of the Arizal. Some of the greatest of the great learn this way. Hashem yechapeh ba'adam, may Hashem atone for their mistake. Sheshagagu, who made a mistake. Vito bi'iyunam b'kisvi Arizal, and they made a mistake in the writings of the Ari. Ve'evinu, and they understood. Inyan ha'tzimtzum ha'muzkar sham kipshutai. They explain that which the Arizal writes, that when Hashem, again, we're not talking about in time, because Hashem exists outside of time, but Hashem's decision to create the world required a vacant spot in which Hashem can create. And they learn that literally, that Hashem removed himself from the picture in order to create a world in that empty vacuum. And they learn that Hashem removed himself and his essence, heaven forbid, rather, what they remain with is shemashgiach melamailo, that Hashem continues to observe from above, vashgacha protis, with exquisite divine providence, al kol hayitzurim kulam, over all creations, that they acknowledge, asher b'shamayim imav olatz mitachas, but that he created a place void of himself. Now, here comes the attack. Aside from the fact that it is impossible to say that Hashem literally removed himself, why can't you say that? Because what you're doing by saying that is, God forbid, attributing to God physical manifestations. Meaning, why do we say that something needs to be removed in order for something else to occupy the space? Because we know for ourselves, if I'm sitting in this chair, you can't be sitting in this chair. So that is what we would refer to as Mikri HaGuf, which is one of the languages used in the Rambam in the 13 Principles of Faith, that Hashem has Masigi HaGuf, that we say that Hashem does not have any physical manifestation. But by saying that Hashem had to remove himself in order to create, what you're suggesting is that Hashem can't be there if there is something else in that space, so there can't be a world in that space. Well, then you're limiting God. Okay, look at it inside. You are attributing physical qualities to Hashem, who is separated from any physical qualities billions of times. What's more, not only can it not be true for the reason that I mentioned, that you're making it impossible for Hashem to be there and a world to be there, which is limiting God. But since even those opinions themselves are believers, the children are believers, Shachadish Baruch Hu Yedei Kol Hayitzurin Shabai the Mazah Shofal, that the Rabbeinu Shalom intimately knows every detail of creation of this lowly world. Umashgiach Aleihem, and they themselves acknowledge that Hashem watches over them with divine providence. V'al Karchach, and what's more, is critically, you can't say that when Hashem gets to know a new pine cove, a new pine needle, it adds something to God, because he knows already everything just by knowing himself, because everything is but a projection of himself. Like the Rambam just said, he, his essence, and his knowledge are all already one anyway. So, how can you have there being something which is apart from him? It's an inherent contradiction. Now he proves it from this. So now he proved it logically. Now he's going to say, I don't want to bring you proofs from the Zohar. In the Zohar it says, Deleis asar ponimine. There is no place void of God, not above and not below. So he clearly suffuses every thing in the world. What's more, Ubereyemahem na Parshas Pinchas. Reyemahem is the section of the Zohar that was taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. So in Parshas Pinchas, it says, Ihu tofis bikula. He grasps everything. Veles mandatav is bay, and nothing can grasp him. Right? There's no way for any limited, finite being to be able to grasp who the Rabbeinu Shlom is. Iyu Soiv of Kolamin, he envelops all the worlds. But Leis Man the Nafik Mirishusay, and nothing ever exits his domain. Lebar Iyu Mamali Kolamin, and he suffuses everything. Iyu Mikasho Miyachet Zina Lezina Ile Vesata, he combines and unifies one side to the next, above and below. There's nothing that bonds all the four directions, only God himself. Because he is the one in between them all. So he's suffusing everything. So where is this void if he is all over? But it's saying that what the Zohar is trying to tell us, leis man de tof is bay, that nothing can grasp him, she'ein mi she'yitvais be'asaga sichloi, there's no, even the most brilliant mind, cannot grasp with his intellect, mikol sichlim al-yoinim, even the most exalted, the highest, the deepest, the most exalted angel, with the finest, sharpest mind, the most edel mind, cannot grasp b'muhusa v'yatzimusa shalakodesh baruch hu, cannot grasp the essence of God. K'mayshik sebet tekinim. Sitim edekol stimen, he is the secret, the hidden of all hiddens. V'les machshavet tvisa bach klal, there's nothing that can grasp him. V'gam betachtoinim, and even here below, av agav t'iyum emale kol almin, even though Hashem suffuses everything. Oh, so that would suggest, if Hashem suffuses all things, well then, we should be able to grasp him here below, because he's suffusing us. He is right here. So why can't we grasp him at least on that level of where he is? So he says, because Einikin Nishmas Adam, he's very different than the soul of a human, which is Toich Gufoy. We all acknowledge that the human being has within his body, there is a soul. Clearly it is grasped in the body. It allows us to move. It allows us to see and to hear, to taste and to smell, and to do all the things that our bodies can do. But our neshamas are impacted by our bodies. For instance, vitzaray, it could feel our pain, me'akoyes, from stubbing our toe. Anybody who knows the feeling of a good stub of the toe know that it goes to the depth of the soul, right? A kriris, or a Milwaukee winter, a chamimus ha'esh, or the feeling of fire, kiyotzed, it even impacts the neshama. That's how interwoven the neshama and the body are, that the mikre haguf affect the neshama. But that ain't the case with God, even though he suffuses the world. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not moody and he doesn't get impacted by any changes in this world. Mikayetz l'chayiv, not from summer to winter, even though we have these supposed godless winter days. Umiyayim l'layla, and from day to night, is not more God during the day than there is at night. Kiddichsiv, like the pasuk says, gam choshech l'yashech mimecho, the darkness is not dark from you. V'layla kiyayim yoyim, and the night is as light as day. Because even though he suffuses all the worlds, but he's not impacted by the worlds. Even though he suffuses them. So, using the body, he says, is a very good mushal to get an idea. But it's not a perfect mushal, because the body and the soul are interwoven in a way that the soul is impacted by the body. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he suffuses the world, he's not impacted by the world. Now, what requires elaboration in this is the concept that we constantly see in Kedushas Levi and in other Sifri Kodesh, that we're able to provide HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nachas Ruach. Whether Hashem gets upset with us. Well, you're saying he's not impacting. So what do you do with that? I'll let you ponder that for a few months. Now, v'zeo gamken inyan seiviv kolamin. That is the concept of seiviv kolamin. Again, this language he's obsessed with. The Baal Tani is obsessed with the seiviv kolamin. Okay? In his other svarim, he's busy with it all the time. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam envelops the world. What does that mean? Pirush Derech Moshel. He says, I want to give you, again, they love parables in Chabad. When a person ponders an idea, let's use a mathematic equation. Let's do something that even I can get, like 4 plus 4. Okay? Or let's ponder an image of something physical. Apple pie after Pesach. It's a good image to have. Now, and really think deeply into a really good, you know, Williamsburg apple pie, you know, with the geschmack of shortening, old-fashioned shortening, right? And you really get into it to the point where it's alive, it's real, and you're thinking about it. It's like it's really on your mind. My brother told me that his 4-year-old woche up one morning, Chol HaMoed Pesach, and came, and the kid doesn't talk a lot. And he said, Mommy, I had a dream. She said, really, Sender, what was the dream? She said, I ate a peanut butter sandwich. Right? So when you got something in your mind, is as I sichloi top of pedal, as I sichloi umachshavte makifim ala davarahu, the person's mind envelops the idea, it can totally take it in. Hamitzuya b'machshavte, that's imagined in our mind, or in our intellect. But in truth, is anybody going to say that there's an apple pie in our brain? Ach, ein makifim ala davarahu mamish b'poil mamish. As real as it is in imagery, it's not really enveloping. There is no apple pie. If they were to cut our brains open, they would not find an apple pie. Avala Kadosh Baruch Hu. But about God, Dichsiv Bekilei Machshavos HaMachshavoseichem, that his thoughts are completely different from ours. Machshavte V'Yidiyosoi, his thoughts and his knowledge. Sheyodeya kol anivroim. When it says that he knows all the creations, it means makefes kol nivra v'nivra bepoil mamish. It means that Hashem literally envelops every creation. Sharei hi hi chiyusa. You know why he needs to envelop every creation? Because he is creating it and sustaining it right now. V'yisavusa, he's bringing it into existence. Mi'ayin li'esh b'poy mamish. That apple pie with every one of its components is being created at this moment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is literally enveloping it, creating it, sustaining it at this moment. Something that we can't begin to fathom. Now, that's the concept of the Seiv Kamal. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek, in his mitzvahs, Hamanas Elikus, says that all creation, yesh me'ayin, something out of nothing, will always take place with the force of the Sevev Kolam. Okay, that energy source, this most powerful, what we call absolute godliness, that emanation is the only emanation that has the power to create. Anything else doesn't have the power, the sheer power to create, as we'll see in a moment. But what's this other talk about? That which suffuses the world, not envelops the world, but suffuses the world. That is the trickle-down life source that's able to be enclosed and embodied in each creation. It is very, very constricted and limited in each and every creation with a tremendous constriction, kfi erech mahus hanivra, according to the level of each creation. Now we know that in creation there are four major levels. There is a doimim, a tzemeach, a chayin, a medaber. There's a rock, the inanimate object, earth, the minerals. There is that which grows, right, which has greater life force. There is a chay, there are the animals, and then there's the ultimate, the medaber. Right? Each one of them has a greater level of chius than the level below it. Okay? So there he's saying, with its size and its kamas and echus, its how do you literally translate kamas and echus? Amount and ability. Dino, he explains, malose v'chashivusa, its status. Kigan HaShemesh. Let me give you an example of like a wildly large creation. Let's take the sun. Shagufay yesh legvu v'tachlis b'kamusay. In size, it's limited. How big is the sun? Shukamay kuf samach zayin pomim kigodl kado haaretz. It is 167 times as large as Earth. Where does he get that from? It's a Gemara. Ve'echusay u'malose. So that's in size. Now let's talk about its power. So in size, as big as it is, it's not infinite. What about its power? Hu oiregamken yesh legvul. Even its light has also limitations. The proof is that in Milwaukee during the winter, it ain't doing a whole lot. Right? Ad kami yuchaleir, how far will it illuminate? Kila yorda bilti tachlis. It certainly is not illuminating infinitely. Me'achashu nivra, because by definition it is a creation, and every creation is limited. V'chein kol nivroim, every single nivra him baligvul are limited. V'tachlis, they have boundaries. To go from earth to the first rikiyas, mahalach tov kuf shana, is a span of 500 years, depending on who you're walking with. It's the great line from Stephen Wright. Everything is walking distance if you have the time. V'im kain, if that's the reason. So since they are limited both in kamus and in echos, so therefore the life source that creates them, also is limited. It has to go through numerous forms of breakdown, of limitation, of watering down, until they can bring into existence these very limited creations of Tachlis. Because if it was to go with the absolute godliness, their source of life source, that's the spirit, the spoken word of Hashem, Hamislavish Vasar Mamaris, that is enclosed, it's embodied in the 10 statements of creation, Shabbat Torah. V'ruach Pivis Baruch HaYochel Ispashet Lein Keitz V'Tachlis. As far as the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, that could have gone on infinitely. V'Livar Elam Is Ein Keitz V'Tachlis. and they could have created worlds that are infinite, likamusam, in number, veichusam, and in breath. Ulach yoisam on the island can sustain them forever. Then this limited world never would have come into creation because it would be a never-expanding universe. Why is he saying that? So he says in parentheses, because we must understand that just like the Almighty Himself is an Ein Sof, He's infinite. Kach kol midosav upuloisav, so too are every one of His attributes and all of His actions. The language of the Zohar is He and His midos are one. Hanu achias hanimshachas mimidosav. All of the life source that stem from His midos and chesed, His chesed is Ein Sof, His rachmim is Ein Sof. V'shar midos v'kedushas, and so too all the rest of His midos. Al yidei hislab shusam, shemislab shoyz beruach piv, due to the fact that olam chesed yibana, and therefore they are enclosed and embodied in the utterances of creation. Ki hu ama v'yei, v'olam ayidei chesed yibana, the world was created by His chesed, bidvar Hashem, with the word of Hashem, v'ruach piv anasi kli levush l'chesed zeh. So then the utterance of His mouth, it became the tool through which He was creating using His chesed. Kaden kamtzed levush minei obey. It's like this insect whose shell grows with it. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas, part and parcel of His infinity. So if that's the case, how do we have limited worlds? How do you stop government from growing? Ella, Shetzimtzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'or V'Achios, the Rebbeinu Shlein limited the life source and the force of nature. He stopped. He created a process called tzimtzum that would put a stop to the spread of His word. And He enclosed it in the combinations of the very letters of Asar Mamaris, of the 10 statements of creation. As we discussed in the first parak, the various ways, there's 231 ways of combining the letters, by switching letters, and their gematrias, and then a number of letters, every time there's another one of these switchbacks, each one of them is another lowering from level to level. The next set, so if we're using an atpash, or we're using a gematria, or you're using a different form of letters, that immediately takes it down one level beneath the open, spoken, clear letter of Nasa Adam, for instance. So Nasa Adam was a very deliberate, open statement. What do you end up with? A human being. The highest level of creation. When it comes to the animals, there are no details. Hashem never says, let there be the hippopotamus. He gives it a general clue. Well, now how do you have the difference between a hippopotamus and a squirrel? There you already have chiluf yaisius that make the difference between one animal and the next. Therefore, their chiyus is less. They're not speaking beings. Take it down to the next level. How many types of flowers are there in the world? How many types of vegetables are there? Far more. That's further down the chain of chilufei oisias and gematria and their realization. Each step takes it down another level of chiyus. But in all these things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His life force, and when you're using just the numbers, the numericals, that is the least amount of life force. Miot achar miot, diminution after diminution, achle nisha mimeno, ela b'china achroine, it is the lowest level of chiyus at all, shubchina v'cheshbin u'misper, kama mina koichus u'madigas klulais ba'or v'chiyus hazeh. There are numerous types, levels of koichus u'madigas that are inclusive in this, hamalovish b'tziriv zeshel tevazu, that can be enclosed and embodied and encoded in any word of the Torah. However, referring to the parentheses. And even despite all of these various hundreds and tens of thousands of forms of tzimtzum, ukiyotzabam, kashagazach achmosi is barach, hu shayachal ov achios lislabish gam betachtoinim. The bottom line is, and science has even proven this now, that there is movement even in inanimate objects like stones and earth. Evan has in it the letter 52. There's another Aleph that adds from a different shame. For the reason that its creator understands why you have the Nun Beis from the shame and then add the Aleph to that. The name of 52, that's one of Hashem's names, is extremely exalted. So if that's the case, how does it create stones, of all things? Through incredible amounts and intense forms of filters. There's a drop, a trickle of chius. An extreme, tiny amount of life force, to the point where that life force is able to sustain a stone, a rock. That's the soul of the rock, that gives it its life force, each and every moment, to the El. That is the tiny trickle effect from this form of life source called Mamalik Alamin. That which envelops all things, that is pure, undoctored, unfiltered, godly koiches. And that is, as we discussed in the Tzemach Tzedek, the power that creates it. So the Seiv of Kol Almin is the force that sustains it. The Seiv of Kol Almin is that power that brings it into existence. The Chol Koyach Umadreg, up to the top of Pehe. Each power, every level, Yochol Livre Bruyim Kvi Pchines Umadreg Azu. Each one has the ability to create on its level Gamkin La'en Ketz V'Tachlis, infinite number of creations, Bekamusam Ve'Echusam, in number, in size, in power, because it too is the power of Hashem that comes from the word of Hashem. Nothing can hold back that power. We understand that the level, the power, the extent of creations that are sustained through the matching letters or the gematria or whatever it is, they don't have the same open, explicit godliness as the higher levels of humans or even animals and so on. The Baal Tanya, at the end of his life, called over his grandson and said, pointed to a beam and said to him, "What do you see?" So he said, "I see a beam." So he said, "And I see the letters of the Isis that are creating it now." Meaning a person can perfect their vision to the point that their perception becomes much sharper. So they don't perceive things in their physical manifestation, but they can arrive, they can attain a level where they actually see things by the spiritual essence of the Isis that are giving it its existence at that moment. So therefore he goes back to conclude that there cannot be a total true removal of presence, but rather there is a an alteration of Hashem's open, explicit presence to the point where he limits the amount of energy he allows to flow into any creation in order to allow it to exist in this Tzimtzum form of existence in this world. All right, Mitzvah, we'll take it up from Perek Ches next week. Oh, yeah. Be'ezras Hashem.
I want to just answer the question. No, we have a few months, but Hashem, not that he's affected by them, but interesting.
Does the nachas rule it?
Yeah, might have to, but
the simple answer.
Interesting, you know, it's interesting. You know, God, interest God.
That still is a change. So the way the Svarim Gdashim write about it,